Episode 393, November 19th, 2018.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
A fucking great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you punk?
The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
It's been quite a week, Joe Robinson. I went to Portland, Oregon and back, and you already had Thanksgiving.
Yeah, no, Thanksgiving was fun. Actually, Robbie didn't come to Thanksgiving. He had, I think it was a dog issue, correct, Robbie?
Yeah, it's very difficult to work things around the dog.
The dog doesn't like to have Thanksgiving dinner early. He likes to have it on Thanksgiving. So
we had a murder mystery the same day, if people don't know.
Right, but you had a family thing, which meant you had to do your family Thanksgiving on Saturday, not the Thursday of Thanksgiving.
So... yeah,
which does seem weird to me.
I don't want to give Robbie a bunch of crap, but Robbie definitely could have come. But you don't. I get it. You don't know it until because the setup for AMP went so smoothly. Do you agree, Robbie? It was such an easy setup.
You guys showed up pretty early, and everything went very, very smoothly.
But you don't know that until you get there. And of course, you know Robbie shows up super early.
And we had a new guy this time.
Yeah, and he happened to be pretty good, even though he didn't like the show. Right, Robbie? Is that correct?
No, he sat stone-faced in the back looking at his phone the whole time.
By the way, destroyed.
I think that's just him not caring about what's going on.
He actually read the dialogue as Robbie had it pulled up, and he goes, that's shitty dialogue, or what did he say? Robbie actually took a shot at it.
Yeah, he goes, I don't like that dialogue. I said, it's not Shakespeare.
So, by the way, the dialogue is just so to get to where, I'm not defending
okay.
it.
So it's not supposed to be read like a book.
No, clearly, right? It's not Wuthering Heights, right? It's yeah, but we crushed it. It was sold out. We destroyed it. You actually weren't there. We crushed it. But let me say this:
there was an incident.
Well, let me say this first. One thing that you don't know.
Oh, God.
So there were kids that were there.
Yes,
right? And I go, hey, just don't say anything to Justin about it because you know it kind of throws him off his game, right?
Right.
Okay. So Robbie goes in the green room. He goes, oh, there's something going on out there, but I'm not allowed to say anything about it. That's exactly what they told me. So Robbie already.
That's not what happened.
Well, hold on. Tell me, you definitely said something was going on that you weren't allowed to say. So then clearly I had to tell.
Of course.
I mean, I have to tell at that point. So I didn't get that. What was your move there? Help me explain that to me.
Well, first of all, you have to know that Eric gave me some bourbon.
Okay.
And I was feeling pretty good. I mean, very quickly, as a matter of fact, because, you know, I never drink. And I said, it's going to be an interesting show tonight. That's all I said. I was walking out the door.
Oh, God.
I said, it's going to be an interesting show tonight.
Well, yeah. So
and immediately, Justin goes, what do you mean? What are you talking about?
And then Robbie goes, I'm not allowed to say anything.
And then you walked in. I said, I'm not allowed to say it. I just walked in.
See what I'm saying? So obviously at that point, yes, I have no choice. I don't want Justin to think I'm sabotaging him. So the one thing that
By the way, all Robbie could have just said there was, I had some bourbon, so who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah,
that would have sufficed.
Well, he can't do that. Look. You know Robbie's can't come up with something that quick. If you deviate from the script even a little bit, he can't play the cue. So you know he's not going to... Right. So that's the only thing that Robbie did that annoyed me. But as usual, Robbie was on point with the sound, right? And by the way, I was on point with the sound. Didn't you agree, Robbie?
Agreed. The only thing was the guy kept putting down the lights a little slowly for my taste. But, you know, you couldn't tell him anything because he was only half paying attention.
Yeah, Robbie... Justin didn't say the lights were being handled by... the other lady, right, that was sitting stage side?
Well, the problem at AMP, as you know, this is getting a little technical, but the house lights are up all the time at AMP. We have to have somebody in the back who we're talking to him on the headset going, okay, get ready, you know, for the line. I gave her all the cues.
And I saw him written down there, but I guess Justin didn't say the right line, and so the light stayed up for a little while.
No, it was Sean who missed a cue. He's supposed to say, who's bad? And that was overlooked.
Yeah, Sean Gabbert, who's in our cast, he did that British accent again. actually wasn't that bad. Do you agree, Robbie?
No. Listen, can I just say about this show is
every... This show is Smooth Criminal. It's our Michael Jackson themed murder mystery.
For my money, this was the show where everybody was pulling their weight. Everybody, including Frankie, who doesn't normally do the shows with us, everybody was funny this show.
Yeah, it was.
Really strong.
Awesome. Even Joe, because I know he gives all the lines that I wrote for myself, he gives to Justin.
Well, they aren't funny lines. They're maintenance lines.
No, there's a lot of funny lines in there.
What fun? No. I still do the thing. I clearly the lines when he's talking to me, I have to do the tribute band line. I have to do, that's a line I have to do. I have to do, there's really nothing I give away other than, which is, you know.
The whole Amazon thing is a funny line.
Yes, right. I can't give that away.
No, I'm saying those are funny lines.
Right, but what I'm saying is I don't give those lines away. Right. Anything that has to do with, so this is getting a little inside. But
yeah, we've gotten way inside.
I'm doing it anyway. So in the first act, there's a lot of stuff that has to do with the running of this competition for somebody to be the lead singer of this tribute band, the Smooth Criminals, the Michael Jackson tribute band. Rob has given, as the sound engineer, has given a lot. He has a lot of lines that sound like something the manager would say. Now, I know why Rob does that, because Rob likes to make sure that which has to do with moving the show along is his responsibility, because he's a lot more trusting of himself to make sure that the plot points that take place and that the funny he still gives to Justin and Eric.
Right,
and
taking
Tommy
it off Justin's
I get
plate.
It. I'm not, yeah. But since Justin reads it off a piece of paper, then I'm like, I trust him to do it.
Right, but I would like him to not be on the paper for the entire act one.
Not going to happen.
But without that, there's almost nothing that he needs to know.
No, yeah, you're right. But you know, also, since I don't normally do it, I like to take some of that off my plate. Whatever. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't care. As long as the show crushes, that's all I care
about. And it did, by the way. And then one more thing about this show. I'm trying to think of all the act ones. It might be the best act one that we have.
Yeah.
There's some other really good act ones. There's some that basically just get us to act two. But the act one in this is really, really, really good.
No, I remember when we were writing it, I was thinking, this is act one. There's a lot of softballs. We can just, balls right down the middle. We can just hit out of the park with the audience, with the cast.
Now, two things. First of all, as you mentioned, there was two. I'd say the average age, if you take out two kids, the average age in the audience is between 55 and 60. Would you agree with that, Robbie?
100%.
So it's
an affluent area, and then people that go there, it's a more expensive ticket price than normal.
And then there's kids there. Now, Justin immediately gets on stage and addresses the kids, right? He says, hey, I see that there are kids here. I was hoping there was a couple midgets back there, and he makes a joke, right? Now, as soon as he says that, and I know midget is not a politically correct term, but remember, this is off the top of your head. It's improv. I mean, no, but he's not trying to besmirch the little people community. He's just, you know, he's saying what he can say to be funny and deal with the situation.
Right.
But of course, as soon as he says that, I look right in the front row. There's a little person just right sitting smack dab. I'm like, oh
boy.
God, this isn't good, right? Justin didn't see him. Good. All right.
How could he?
So, yeah, right. It's too low. Anyway, so Justin continues to do what he does. For some reason, you know, Justin's just stream of conscious. He's so hilarious, but he makes another reference. For some reason, I don't know. Maybe he's talking about the kids again. I've never heard two midget references. He makes the second one, okay?
His second one in the entire history of the show, of our company, and the second one in that show.
Exactly. So, Tommy is facing away from the audience and looking at him, and I can tell from where I'm sitting, he's like, hey, dude, look in the front row. You need to stop doing that. There's a little person that's right in the front. So, of course, you see Justin's face. He's like, oh, fuck, right? He's, yeah. So, anyway, so that happens. And I'm thinking, okay, well, that's over with, and he won't do that anymore. And, by the way, the show is destroying. Right. It's crushing.
The crowd
right?
isn't
they're,
picking up on
oh,
this.
Oh, no, no, no. They're loving it. They're I, honestly, I'm not making a joke. They can't see the little person.
Right.
He's too small. So they don't know that there's anybody
they're
there.
That,
right, right, exactly. They don't need
to
be
unless you're sitting within his immediate vicinity, you're not going to know.
Yeah, Robbie, you didn't even know he was there, right?
I did not until I saw that exchange between Tommy and Justin. I realized what was going on.
Okay. So anyway, so now the show goes on. And the manager, who I like very much, comes up to me and goes, hey, listen, there's a little bit of a problem.
Oh, wait a second. She approached me first.
Oh, God.
And asked who she needed to speak to about this.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, who'd you say? Me? I guess
of
you
course.
Did. Because okay.
I immediately said, I think Joe's the best person.
Eric Woodworth.
So, now let me say something that did not offend anybody, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Eric, who plays a Russian dance instructor,
of
Eric
course
Woodworth,
he does. Yes.
He gets up there and he says, hey, those kids would fetch a good price in my hometown, right? Everybody's laughing. Nobody cares. Come talk to me after the show, whatever. Everybody's fine with that.
The parents are fine with the sex trafficking.
They're laughing. Everybody's fine with these kids getting bought and sold into sex slavery, but this other thing isn't okay. So they're loving it. Anyway, so then fast forward, the manager comes up to me and she goes, hey, yeah, so apparently there was a comment that was made. Of course, I know exactly what she's getting ready to say. She goes, okay, so the wife of this gentleman would like for the person that said it to come after the show and apologize. So I was like, okay, no problem.
And this manager, we have a good relationship.
She's awesome. No, yes. I love her. So I'm like, yeah. And I'm literally thinking, I wish she would have said that I needed to do the apology.
Yes.
Right? Because I probably have a lot thicker skin than Justin
and
does.
And you
right?
could, if even if you don't believe it, you could fake the sincerity.
Well, sure, but so
you
can
could
Justin,
sell
right?
It. But you're not gonna take it personal.
No, well, yeah, because it wasn't about me.
Right.
So it's hard to not take it personally. So anyway, so then the show goes on. Justin is unaware that he's going to have to do this, or even that I'm going to ask him to
so
do it.
So we're approaching
right?
the end of the show at this point.
It's getting to the very end,
okay.
And of course. I'm not really enjoying myself as much as I normally would, knowing what's happening, knowing that eventually I'm going to have to go up to him and be like, dude, listen. All right. So the end of the show. It's great. By the way, the name of the team that won had the word shit in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the kid come up to the stage, pick out the winner, and then read the winner. And he said, no shit, Sherlock, into the microphone.
Audience went crazy.
Audience went nuts.
Oh, that's awesome.
But let's clarify that just before you get to the other thing. You know, there's two kids.
Yeah.
There was a 9-year-old and then maybe a 12-year-old. Well, after Act Two, the 9-year-old was gone.
Yeah, but
I saw the mother take the 9-year-old.
You're right,
out.
But they were also kind of cool with it. You know what I mean? They're like, hey, we're having a good time. He probably shouldn't be here. Let's roll out, right? But,
mm-hmm,
you know,
right.
I mean.
And they can tell that everyone's having a great time and just. Yeah,
and
the
other kid
right.
is loving life. He's fine, you know. So yeah,
were they a family or were they two separate people?
Family?
Okay,
right. So right, so they stayed. The other two, they probably went to a movie or something, or went to go get something to eat, and then they came at the end of the show. But anyway, yeah. So yeah, they removed their kit. So now here it is at the end of the show, and I go up to Justin. I go, "Hey, dude, listen, I need you to do something for me, right?" And I go, "I need you to." They want an apology. He's like, yeah, fuck that, right? So he's like, I'm not doing it, right? I go, okay, he goes, do you want me to do it? I go, well, I wouldn't mind you doing it, right? I mean, I don't know what the repercussions of not doing it, and I also didn't know it was going to bother him this much, which it did, right? It definitely bothered him, but I think it bothered him more after. So what he does is he goes up, and I can only see it. Robbie, did you see it happening?
I did not.
So Justin is there talking to the wife.
Mm-hmm.
The person, I guess, that was really affected by it, the little person, she's standing between 10 and 15 feet away. He's not even there. Like, she is the one saying, no, I wear the pants in this
right.
family. I'm going to tell you what you need to be offended by. Now, I'm not in the business of telling other people what they should be offended by. It's not my place, right? But I do know that if somebody said something about the group that I belong to, older people, people with big foreheads, whatever it is that it's about me, bad
right.
posture, whatever it is that happens with that occurs with me, I wouldn't be offended, but it's not my place to say what should offend other people.
But it's possible that that people have made little comments his whole life.
Maybe, but I don't know that it's her place either.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
But it doesn't matter.
Right.
She was definitely pointed out as being the one who was complaining and vocal. I never heard anything about anything that he said. It was all about what she said.
Well, then, so So she complained to one person. Then I see her over there talking to the bar manager, and she's taking him to task. So now she's already talked to the manager. Now she's talking to the bar manager. Now Justin's going over to apologize. So, again, I only – apparently she just told Justin he was just the worst piece of shit that ever lived. Right. There are great little people, which I'm sure there are. Nobody like you, worthless piece of whatever. Just shits all over him. And, of course, Justin's like, yes, you're – thank you, may I have another. Just taking it. Oh, yeah, just taking it. And, of course, the husband who's probably like, oh, God, I guess – this is what I get for being able to get a real-sized woman or whatever the hell, you know. And she's over there just taking him to task. And then, of course, after it was over, Justin was like, fuck this. He rolled out. He left. Oh. He's like, I can't sit around now and enjoy myself after what I was just put through. But, I mean, what do you get? Listen, it's a comedy show. It's also improv. I understand. Look, I'm not defending the use of the word midget. I'm not defending the use of the word retard. I'm not. But, you know, when you're at a comedy show, the gloves are off. That's a real thing, okay? If you decide you're going to get offended at a comedy show, it might not be the place for you.
But in their defense, they weren't coming to a comedy show.
Why not?
I mean, we're not a stand-up comedy show.
Well,
so,
no, but okay, so.
So
but,
I think that it's not surprising for me to come in, for people to show up and not know exactly what they're getting.
Fair enough. Okay, maybe they didn't know, but it is a comedy show. So if they didn't know, I mean, by the way, it's represented in the description as a comedy show.
It's a, you know, it's a comedy murder mystery show.
But
yes.
We make it very clear that it's a lot of it's improvisation. Right. Look, I'm going to defend it, not just because he's my friend, but I'm also want to defend the art. That's what this
is.
No, I'm not.
I'm saying
it's the last vestige of non-political correctness. It's where you go to say, look, we're trying to be funny. You know, I say, oh, it's just a joke. It is literally just a joke.
Right.
That's the idea. So as soon as we start censoring the comedians, look, I've heard Bill Maher from the most conservative talk about going to colleges. They're like, fuck that. I'm not going there anymore because everybody's like, hey, there are all these rules you're going to apply to my comedy when literally it's like this is a joke. There's no masking it in anything else. It's a joke.
No, I agree, but I don't have a problem with her being upset. I don't think that she has the right to say Justin's a horrible person.
Well, he's not.
Right.
But you're right about that. I don't have a problem with anybody being upset as long as you're going to defend somebody's right to be able to say those things at a comedy venue. Right? I think they should be.
Right.
You should be able to say, hey, lines are going to be crossed here because we're joking. It's about irreverence. You do have to take some risks. I'm not like Chris Restivo, right?
Well, I don't know. Is that word to the. Is that like. Is it like saying the F word or the N word? I don't know. I mean, it isn't maybe. In terms of if you say it out loud, nobody freaks. You're.
Maybe.
But that. I don't know how it feels from the other end.
Yeah. No. Right. I understand that. Right. And I'm not going to tell anybody they don't have the right to be offended, just like I'm not going to tell any comedian that they don't have a right to make these jokes. By the way, you know how you let people know that it's not okay to say those things? You don't support it with your money, and you don't laugh at it. Well, I don't believe that that's a part of this. Either way, I'll bet you Justin doesn't say midget anymore on stage, but at the end of the day...
Which is unfortunate, because sure he's got a lot more good midget jokes. Look, I tell a joke where I say the word midget on stage, so... And I tell a joke about how a midget yells at me for saying that, and then I make a joke about that. So, like, you know, I understand. I was freaking out because, you know, I was in Portland, so obviously I wasn't there. But I am, you know, eagerly awaiting your post-show text, crushed it, yada, 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 and, you know, we made X amount of money, and it's the basic, you know, not a full report, but a summary of what happened.
Yeah.
So I'm also freaking out because my cell phone, I keep missing text, so I don't know if that's it. So then I'm, like, snooping around. I'm going on, you know, Eric's page. Oh, he posted a photo. It sold out. That's good. Katie, she got an Instagram thing. She has a little video of that. Then I see Justin's Twitter, and he keeps doing this thing where he writes to @SnoopDogg.
Yeah,
he tweets to him. He goes, yeah, Snoop Dogg, rough show tonight. Went a little sideways on me. Some of the crowd turned on me. Now I'm like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah, and
so
then
now,
I'm not. I only saw 2-year texts. And
well, that's all I did. Cause I,
okay, because as soon as I saw that, I let you know, hey, everything's okay. We killed, which we did.
Yes.
You know, I'll let you know tomorrow, but, you know, it was, you know, I wasn't really in a place where I could kind of explain everything to you.
Well, I was freaking out. I was like, this is what I had done. I had ranked the four possibilities.
Go ahead.
Not in order, but just that could have happened.
Did you think that Eric might have said something about sex trafficking the child, which did happen?
Not what happened, but why I hadn't heard from you. Not what happened.
Oh, I gotcha.
So why I hadn't heard from you, in no particular order, A, my phone is screwing up, which it is. B, whatever happened, you were still dealing with.
I think I was
in the process of cleaning up because of dealing with it made you wait longer.
Yes.
Okay.
I did.
C, you just fucking didn't even think about it, whatever. And D, you were upset and didn't want to fucking talk to me and then have me get upset and then have a whole thing.
Nah, I would never leave you out to dry like that. As soon as I saw that, I'm like, I would want to know. And we sold it out. That's what you need to know. There's an issue that wasn't a concern.
Right.
It wasn't. We'll play the club again. Clearly, those people aren't going to come.
No, they won't be here.
And in the meantime, Jim Amato is giving us little people murder mystery ideas.
Can we hear some?
Yeah, sure. You want me to read them, Robbie?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Okay, we got Darby O'Gill is killed by the little people. Gulliver got whacked on his travels. Murder on Fantasy Island. It's a small, small world of murder. And then the assassination of General Tom Thumb. Not bad, Jim, for such short notice.
All right, we'll come back and we'll debut our new little person murder mystery, Robin Joe Show. Be right back.
Hi, this is Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show, and I'm here to tell you about the most hysterical, amazing, and festive f***ing show I've ever had the privilege to be a part of. It's called A Merry Murder Mystery, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the guys who brought you The Newly Dead Game and Sing for Your Life. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. There's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, December 8th at the Bright Box Theater in Winchester. For more information, visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
I heard there was a secret code that David played in it. Please the Lord, but you don't really like music much, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, that minor holds in the major ills, that baffled king composing, hallelujah.
So good. Eric Woodworth, ladies and gentlemen.
So, that video, first of all, Eric can sing, right?
He really can.
They just performed, both Eric Woodworth and Tommy Cimbazzo at the Cellar Door. They performed Yoda. Did you see that video?
He sent me the video.
God, it's so good. But anyway, that right there, obviously, that one part when he has to go really high where, you know, he struggles a little bit. But if you watch the video, he's making these faces. It's so funny. And Katie loves it. She's listened to that thing like nine times. It's like I tweeted it. Yeah. In response to him doing it. Katie's playing that like she's hearing Hotel California for the first time. Right. She won't stop playing it. So,
it's a great song.
So, of course, I'm at Thanksgiving and I can't remember if I made reference to it or Gramps makes reference to it. He goes, yeah, it was really horrible. I could barely stand it. Did you hear that crap? Just start shitting all over it. So, didn't like it. Gramps did not like it.
Eric loves Gramps. That's got to hurt.
Well, no, he just didn't like his rendition of that song, I guess.
Oh, I loved it, Eric.
Yeah.
You're in good hands. Performed, speaking of Eric, I mentioned it last week. I was going to see him at the Nottinghams here in Columbia.
Was he busy reading comic books when you talked to him?
He was not, but he went up and he crushed. But there was a woman there from The Real Housewives of Potomac. And you remember when I worked with Tiffany Haddish at the Warner Theater back in the spring.
Yeah, Katie knew who you were talking about.
Yes, I met two women who they looked like Real Housewives. And I ended up getting a picture, and then Katie said, yeah, they are. And then one of them was Robin Dixon, is Juan Dixon.
Oh, was she there at the...
So the woman performing was not her. It's funny because there's another woman went up who knows them. They had a whole group. And she got off early, and Sean was out in the bar,
and Sean Savoy.
Sean Savoy, okay. Sorry. He runs the room. Yeah. And he was the MC. He was not there. So I just grabbed the mic from her because I knew she didn't know what to do. She's a newcomer.
Right.
And I just took over and I said who I was. And I said I was already going to be next, which I was. And I did my set and I killed. And then I get off stage and this guy fist bumped me. And then afterwards, then the Real Housewife lady went up and the show ended. And I went up to her and I goes, yeah, I met at the Warren Theater. I met Robin. Meanwhile, Robin right there.
Okay.
And I was like, and she goes, yeah, I remember you. And I was like, oh, shit, it's you. So we talked, and she was, you know, complimentary of that night and stuff. And it's funny, she says to me, "Don't take this. Don't be offended." But I thought you were funnier than Tiffany. I was like, "Why would I be offended?"
Like, yeah. Oh my god, I can't believe you said that.
So then the guy comes over who had fist bumped me. It's Chick Hernandez from local DC sportscaster. For the last 20 years.
Speaking of little people, he's probably just about 2 inches above being a little person.
No,
Chick Hernandez. No, he's like Mickey's height.
No, he's not. I just hung out with him.
Dude, I've seen Mickey. I've seen Chick Hernandez a zillion times. He's like literally like 5'5".
Okay.
Good.
Well, he had a hat on, so maybe.
I'm going to Google his height.
But isn't Mickey like 5'2"?
I think he says he's 5'3". Maybe he's lying.
Okay. Well, he did have a hat on, so maybe. It didn't stand out to me as that short.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to distract
but
you.
But anyway, so we were talking, and because he lost his job, and we were talking about Podcast Village because he was talking about doing a podcast there with Fred Smoot, former Redskin. And I'm like, you should do it. And then we talked up about it, Oscar, and how great Charlie Burney and Podcast Village people are. He goes, yeah, I don't want to work. And I'm like, just a podcast. He goes, yeah, but right now I got a severance. I got stocks. I'm doing nothing, and I like it. And I go, you know what? All right. You sold me on not. You don't have to. Why?
Now, by the way.
He wants to be in the murder mystery.
He's in.
Yeah.
Does he have a following?
I don't know.
So, Chick Hernandez, I put in H heights, the first thing that came up.
Okay.
But I don't think I can find it.
I mean, he did have a hat on, and maybe he had boots. I don't know. It didn't strike me as somebody especially short.
Yeah.
But you could very well be right.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it here. It's harder to find than you think.
So, then anyway, Savoy, there's this bar that's right by my house that he always goes to. They have karaoke night, like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's just a huge karaoke following. And he goes, hey, we're going over there afterwards. And I said, yeah, I'll go by. And it's a fun scene, a lot of good singers. And this guy sings this song. And I'm like, I don't never heard the song. It's about 1985.
Yeah. Dude, you know who wrote that song?
No.
How about fucking John Allen, My Man Crush?
Really?
Yes, John Allen and what's the other guy, the lead singer of SR-71? Those two guys wrote that song by Bowling for Soup, 1985, yes. Written by them, yeah. Well, Mitch Allen. Okay. Mitch Allen and John Allen wrote 1985.
So you know the song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yes.
That's it.
So the guy sang it. It's not really a hard song to sing, but he really played it up and he gave a great performance. And I was like, dude, that was awesome. Then I asked this girl who was next to me. They're all Sean's friends. And I go, what? Is that a new song? That's how dumb I am. She goes, yeah, that song was new when I was 8.
Not 2004 it came out.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, how old am I? And by the way, she's probably right. She's probably 25, so in that range.
I looked at the 1985 Wikipedia, and they're telling me about the year 1985. Right. But yeah, here it is. Mitch Allen, John Allen, songwriters.
So everyone knows that song but me.
Yes, and my famous John Allen story is, I don't know if I've told this on the air.
Scott Appleton, no, don't worry, Rob.
Okay, thank God.
So
Gramps probably knows it.
And then, no, you should
he
definitely.
He hates Eric's version of it.
No, Graham definitely does not know the song. So we were telling a story. Me, you, and Justin, I'm not going to give our figures. We're talking how much would somebody have to pay you to go up and back on a penis once. Do you remember that?
Oh, I do remember that, yes.
And I do remember having the highest number of me, you, and Justin, but regardless, it's not a number I'm proud of, right? That's
right.
Basically
we're all
it.
In the basic ballpark, right?
No. Justin said that.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And I was like, wow, that's pretty fucking low, right? But anyway, so I said that.
I wish she would do our murder mystery for that number.
I said that with a K at the end.
Yes.
And then you said that. with a K at the end, and then Justin half that.
Okay.
So that was his number. Anyway, so we're laughing or whatever, and then John Allen, who was at the party. So I go, hey, John, and I tell him that, and he looked at me like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Who talks about, who talks like that?
John already has $1 million. That's why he doesn't, you know, he's not going up and back for the amount that we are. But it was only one time.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, and you get the money.
Well, I mean,
it really
made sense to me, but to him, he's probably, why would I do that?
Right. I already have all the money I need.
What's wrong with you?
I wrote 1985.
Exactly.
I mean, what do you want?
It's a karaoke song, huge in in Columbia, Maryland. So I went to Portland. I had a bit of a some plane almost drama because, you know, I hate to get a there's no nonstop. But I want to get there early enough so that I can rest up and I'm not going to be risking missing the show. So it's 3 hours earlier, so it's easier to get there early. But still, I'm leaving at like 8 a.m.
Yeah, just to get there 3 hours before the show.
Yeah,
it's
no,
a lot.
I was going to get there at like 1, which is good.
Yeah, that is good. Oh, right. Because you're going back in time 3 hours,
yes.
Too. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, but I'm having a layover in Chicago 45 minutes. Now, this is Thursday, which was the first... our first bad weather of the year, potentially. So I'm looking at Thursday morning. Is it going to hit before? Am I going to miss it? But I'm worried. I hate to have a layover that tight, but just the way the flights worked out, that was the best deal. So it still says on time, we get on the plane on time. And then, well, we have to de-ice the plane. And then another truck has to do this. And that truck's not ready. And it's just, and we're waiting and waiting. So then it's obvious that my flight leaves at like 9. And we're going to land at like 8:45 because it's an hour earlier there.
Right.
So I see the guy next to me. He's looking at his phone, other flights to Portland. I go, oh, you're going to Portland too? He goes, yeah. I said, I don't know. We're going to make it. He goes, I don't know. The guy next to me, also Portland. The couple in front, Portland. I'm like, it was five of us just right here. So I'm like, well, they're going to, I mean, they will just hold the plane, right? We're just wait 15 minutes, then we get up screwed. And he's like, well, these airlines, they really care about their on-time stats. And I'm like, he keeps being negative. It's pissing me off.
Right.
So I'm like, what gate, you know, the app says what gate we're leaving from. And he figured out what gate we're landing on. We're leaving on C-31, landing C-30.
Oh,
and I'm like, right. Well, that's, we're going to be good. He goes, still don't like our chances. I'm like, fuck you, dude. So we get off the plane and immediately... United guy, Portland. And I go, yes. And it was me and then the couple, then the guy to my left, not the old guy. And he goes, is that everybody? And I wanted to say yes.
Just to fuck that guy. He wouldn't.
But I was like, so negative. There's one more.
One jackass who doesn't think he's going to get on the plane.
So we made it. So
did you say how he's bad mouthing him to see if he'd leave?
I did. He said, your stats, you care about more your stats than the customer. So. Keckner brought a friend with him to the show, and this is a guy that name's Kevin. I recognized him, but I couldn't tell, you know, from what. And I wanted to just figure it out rather than just ask him because that seemed more interesting to me. So we were in the lift, and the driver was talking about the episode of The Office where Keckner takes a dump on Michael Scott's.
Yeah, he doesn't know who did it. Yeah, right. And then he thinks it's hilarious once he finds out.
Only his voice is in the episode, a phone call. He's not even seen in the episode, but it's the most talked about Todd Packer episode. So then the guy next to me is like, yeah, I wish they would talk about the Infinity episode with lawyer such and such. And I'm like, oh, that's who you were. Remember the episode where Ryan was now the boss and he started this website and Michael was against technology? And so
he took the GPS and it drove into the lake.
Yes, but we can get our clients back by giving them gift baskets. So he and Dwight would go to these different businesses and they'd be like, yeah, we'll take your basket, but we're not going to give you our business back. It's a stupid fucking gift basket, right? So there's this one lawyer, it was a law office, and they went back and forth for a little bit. He said no. Then they went and he drove the car into the lake. They came back all wet from being in the lake and they demanded it back, even though they'd already started eating it. He's the guy they're talking okay. to is this guy, Kevin. He also wrote for Conan for a few years, which was pretty interesting. So I got some good stories, some behind the scenes stuff, but that's going to be a Patreon episode.
We got some Patreon stories.
Yes, that seems fair, right?
Yeah, no, that does. I actually had, you mind if I tell a story about what happened to us? Did you have more?
Real quick. Okay. I had them, you know, we both tell this joke about the hall pass and who.
Yeah, you and I both have a joke.
Who would you hook up with? And people always give me funny answers. Usually there's just their normal answers, like Scarlett Johansson or Matthew Perry or something. Or not Matthew Broderick. No. Matthew
McConaughey.
Yes, that's the one I meant.
The
yes.
best looking of the three
exactly.
people. Matthew Perry used to be good looking.
Right.
So did Matthew Broderick.
You're
but
right.
Both
fine.
Of them are disgusting now. Go ahead.
So this guy, this time, he goes, Betty White.
That's was he trying to be hilarious?
No.
No.
Look, he just is a big fan, so of course I made fun of him. Then another guy.
She's 90 years old.
Trust me. I recorded the whole thing. It'll be on my CD. Trust me. Then another guy, Mel Gibson.
The guy said Mel Gibson.
Yes. Like,
he just
what?
Liked his attitude towards the Jews.
That's what? I made the same jokes. So thank you for being weird, Portland. I enjoyed you.
Yeah, they had to be trying to be hilarious. Nobody could. I mean, unless you're. Is that. I guess everybody has a fetish, but to want to bang a 90-year-old woman. That's
I think
not...
he took it to mean you get to, like, hang out with her.
Oh, I gotcha.
Which is,
your
he was like, she's a legend. I'm like, yeah, I know she's a legend. It doesn't mean I want to have sex with her.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are legendary
right.
that you don't want to have sex with.
Yeah.
But does he even really want to hang out with Betty White? That's another
oh,
thing.
Oh, no, there's 5 minutes of me talking about this with him. So trust me, we went down the whole rabbit hole. Yes.
Yeah, screw that guy.
Yep.
So Katie and I went to the movies. That's a weird, right, this weekend?
Did you see Widows? Because that looks good.
No, that's on our list of movies to see. It's getting really good reviews. There's some movies we have to see, but we saw, what did we see this weekend? It was good. Oh, Green Book. It's a good movie.
Okay, yes. Yeah.
Anyway, before we went to a restaurant called Vino. Now, first thing I'm going to say is this. We sat at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And when you sit at the bar and you don't order alcohol, the bartender shits on you every time.
Yes.
Which I think is weird, but they do. Because you don't know our story, right? So we sit down at the bar, and she's like, well, you're like, I'm fine with this water. And she goes, I like a Diet Coke. He goes, wow, really partying tonight, which I've heard a million times, right? So Katie had a great idea. The next time somebody says that and go, well, we're in recovery. Now, that's what we're going to say. Then.
That seems like the thing you don't want to do. That's a very Kirby enthusiasm.
We'll get there in a minute. So we're going to say, hey, sorry, we're in recovery. Right? Make them feel bad or whatever. Then maybe 10 minutes later, go, you know what? What the fuck? Yeah, give us a drink, right? And see if we can't. Okay? So see how they react. Be like,
right.
yeah. And then we do a shot or something and then just get fucking hammered, right? Just proceed to just get fucking destroyed.
Act obnoxious.
And make that guy never in his entire life ever again will he ever tell anybody that they should be drinking in a bar.
You get on the phone, honey, you tell your mom, I'm sorry, I relapsed, this is bartender.
I thought that'd be great to video that.
Yes.
And then, you know, play it as like a little, I don't know, how could you, maybe like a viral video of some kind? People would have to love that, right?
Yeah, I'm sure some people will get offended, but that's the way of the world, but I think that's hilarious.
Well, get offended, what are you going to do? He's the one encouraging
right.
us to drink.
I agree.
They don't know that we're not really alcoholics.
Are you really going to get hammered?
I mean, why not? What's the harm? I mean, I certainly would.
But can you keep up the gag if you get drunk? Are you going to slip up?
No, of course. What am I, Robbie, going, hey, I'm not supposed to say anything, but I'm not really an alcoholic. Don't say anything and runs out. No, I'm not going to do that. The problem is that getting a good video of it.
Yes.
Somebody would have to be willing literally to sit there. I mean, I don't mind it being on a camera.
You'd have to have another person in on at the end of the bar with a sight line.
And they just video the whole thing.
Yep.
So anyway, but that's...
So I'm that other person, basically.
You're going to do that,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
so,
done.
So nobody tell that that's going to happen, but that will. But the other thing is you have to keep doing it until somebody says, you know, makes fun of you for not drinking, right?
Yes. So anyway, I have to show up to a bar with you every time.
So, hey, Katie just walked in. So
hey,
anyways,
Katie.
So we're sitting in the bar. There's two people. Now, first
hey,
of
Katie.
All, the guy sitting next to us goes, he's like, hey, I'm going to have to charge you for these seats. You know, just...
Right.
And I'm like, what? Why would you charge me? You know, I immediately start shitting. I go, why would you charge me? This is a public place. I'm not allowed to sit here. Like, I'm making fun of this guy for making whatever cornball joke he's making. So, of course, we're engaging with these people. When I say we're engaging with people, I am. Katie wants that nothing to do with these people.
That sounds normal.
Let me turn you up, Katie. You're not up. So Katie doesn't want to deal with these people. I, of course, want to talk to anybody that's around me. So
yes.
I start talking, and it's Katie, then me, then this lady. She's this Puerto Rican lady. Her name is Melissa. Mm-hmm. She is very hilarious, very interesting, very funny. And then this guy who was like...
And Joe thought she was hot.
Well, for her age, she's probably in her 60s. And,
she
you
was
know,
12.
She's like Betty White.
She looked a lot like a hot Betty White.
Yeah, no one says she's hot for her age when they're talking about a younger person.
Yeah, she's hot for her age.
She's seven.
Anyway, so we're talking to him enough to where we're like, oh, we're getting married. And at some point, the conversation goes to the difference in our age. And this lady's like, what? What are you out of your fucking mind?
Oh my God.
What are you doing? If you were my daughter, this would not be happening.
She's like,
right now.
We need to have a conversation. This is a huge problem.
Hey, I'm in between eating, okay? I'm literally in between them eating my meal, right?
Joe's saying nothing. She's leaning over. She's like, what? I don't understand. What do you mean?
What's wrong with this guy?
This can't happen.
Do you know what you're doing? Yeah, don't you ever want to have kids? Is this a life for you? Blah, blah.
Yeah.
What kind of life is this?
Are you answering these questions or are you just
like,
ignoring
listen,
her?
Listen, lady, we're getting married in 6 months.
And I was just sitting there eating my food, right? She's there talking. I have to lean up so she can shit on me behind my head. But I loved her. She was hilarious.
Yeah. Why don't you invite her to the wedding?
Hey, I did invite her to a show. I said, hey, we're going to be at the, because I said, what do you guys do, right? And he's some engineer or whatever. He over-explained his job,
right.
Which means, you know, well, what I do is RF signaling.
Oh, sorry,
blah, blah, blah,
I
right? Yeah. I'm just so bored, right? And then Katie goes, oh, this guy, he's famous or whatever she said about me, right? I go, no, I'm not, blah, blah, blah. But then I said, well, we do these shows. You should come to one. So hopefully they'll come and you can meet her. Melissa and Paul.
She wants us to break up so bad.
Yeah, she does not want us to be together.
I think Katie wants to make you seem more famous than you are because that makes
it justifies.
It justifies it.
I swear, it's one of those situations where I was just really wanting to enjoy my food. And Joe wanted to talk, so I decided to be like, oh, hey, guys, he's famous. Ask him about this. So I
right.
wanted them to go do their own thing and let me not have anything to do with it. Joe does that sometimes when, like, really horrible stories are being told.
Ugh.
And in order to be funny, he, like, waits for somebody to walk up, and he's like, hey, tell that mashed potato story.
Yeah,
again.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh,
I'm famous for that.
Yeah, that would drive me crazy. I hate to have a conversation when I'm eating. I mean, not with a stranger, not with somebody I know.
Well, I wasn't having a conversation. They were having a conversation behind me while I was eating. Mm. But no, I did have it originally. But yeah, the balls on this lady made me really enjoy her. Like,
yeah,
I really, really liked the lady. The husband, I could definitely have done without. Every time he told me he was running for president.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not voting for your fat ass. By the way, they'd only been married for 3 years. And she goes, yeah, when I met him, he weighed 400 pounds.
Did you tell the minivan story?
Did he take hypnosis?
No, he didn't take any hypnosis. But
I have to give a shout out, one more important thing, to Melissa Booker, a super fan of ours on Facebook. She came to my show.
Oh, cool.
She says hello to everyone. She says she wishes that you two were there and Gramps and Robbie. And she brought me some Lindor chocolate truffles, which I destroyed, and they were delicious.
Did you share?
I shared with some people, with a couple of staff, and Keckner and his buddy Kevin, yes.
But there weren't enough to give a bunch away, right?
No, I had three or four myself. I had my share. So thank you, Missy.
So, yeah, the guy's like, you know the worst people in the world are minivan drivers. He goes, I want them all to be deported. I'm like, well, what the fuck? Why do you care?
That's what he's running on?
Well, what are they doing to you? Like,
right.
What are minivan drivers? And I go, she drives a Ford Windstar. She goes,
yeah.
She goes, tell him I drive a minivan. I go, she drives a Ford Windstar, right?
And I was like, oh, I mean, you guys seem okay. Like,
and I go, well, you just said, Bob, you just said they're the worst people alive, you know?
That's why he's marrying you. She's marrying you so she won't get deported when this guy becomes president.
By the way, if Katie and I get married and the first thing she says is, yeah, 3 years ago, he was a fat piece of shit or whatever. Like, I would be like, lady, what's your problem? I mean, aren't we getting married? I mean, aren't we married? Don't you love me?
She speaks her mind, this woman.
Oh, my gosh, man.
My other favorite thing she said, these are the people who want to show you pictures of their kids.
Oh.
Because they think they're very attractive
children. They should be
deported. So she says, yeah, my daughter, her boyfriend's really nice and really rich, but God, I just can't stand him. And I'm like, really? Why? Because she's like, God, he's just so ugly.
Yeah. And by the way, she showed us a picture and her daughter was beautiful.
Yeah.
But the guy was good looking. I mean, he's perfectly good looking guy. Like,
her standards are like,
man, sorry, Brad Pitt, you're not hot enough. But it's so funny, the guy who hates minivan drivers,
yes,
and the guy who was running for president and also is an engineer at some RF firm, Paul, by the way, that's his name. He's also like, hey, show him a picture of Brittany or whatever the hell's daughter. Show him a picture. Show him a picture. Finally, she's like, okay, here you go. I'm just looking at some fucking random girl that I've never met before in a picture of her. I'm like, oh, she's beautiful
also,
or whatever.
He hugged us goodbye. How we probably were there for
30 minutes.
I would say between 18 and 25 minutes.
Because we had to get to the movies.
Well, he thinks your friends are inviting him to shows.
But what I mean is like, do you normally hug people goodbye that you met less than an hour?
I hugged the lady first. That's why.
Okay.
So I said, all right, bring it in here.
He got out of his seat and walked around the bar to hug me.
I hugged her. I said, don't you worry. We're still going to do this in spite of your best attempts to prevent this from happening. And I hugged her. And then I hugged the guy.
Yeah. She hugged me and she's like, do what's best for you. I'm like, okay, thanks, lady.
The guy drank a bottle of wine while we were sitting there.
Yeah.
I think that he thinks that you guys are friends now.
Well, I hope he's not listening to the Rob and Joe show.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Gramps here again, reminding all of you who haven't joined Patreon to get on the stick. Every week, you enjoy the upgraded sonic experience listening to Rob and Joe's free shows. Well, that sound equipment doesn't come cheap. So loosen your grip on that fiver. Join the circle of trust. Hear all of the behind-the-scenes mischief and celebrity gossip. Hear Joe discuss being sued by... Hear Robbie detail his affair with... And hear all about how Rob looped... to do a 7-minute set at the Comedy Cellar. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show now, or I'm going to come over to your house and your wife.
Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
That's definitely Robbie.
That was delicious. Tawana posted a new profile pic on Facebook. One comment, Gramps, hot stuff.
Hey, you're lucky that's all you got.
I know.
It could have been way worse.
It probably will be.
Hey, can I give you another scenario that Katie and I were talking about?
I love scenarios.
So I said, because he said he was running for president, and then this lady said he's the worst person alive, right? Mm-hmm. This is her husband. And I go, do you think there's ever been a first lady or maybe eventual first lady that went into the voting booth and didn't vote for her husband for president? Katie said she thinks it's happened.
Because they were in an argument or she disagreed with him politically?
Oh, you know,
any
just,
reason, right?
Yeah.
Did it happen?
I just remembered, though, women have only been able to vote for like...
That's true.
100 years or whatever. So I don't know. When's suffrage? Probably 19th. What amendment is it? Whatever. Doesn't matter. But
so there hasn't been that many.
But it's all 100 years. Well, you know, you probably get yourself 25 elections, probably more than that.
Yeah.
Boom PA812 in chat thinks that they wanted a swing.
Oh my God, that'd be the worst ever.
Yeah, I mean,
the worst deal there?
Katie gets
the worst deal.
Yeah,
I get the worst.
Yeah, this is a guy that was 400 pounds. By the way, that guy could eat at the Heart Attack Grill for free.
Right, he could bang in a minivan. You think he'd want a minivan?
He can't. No.
What's he going to drive, a sports car?
Yes, he can't be in a Miata, right?
I'm going to say that has not happened, Katie. But I want to believe that it has.
98 years, by the way. That's
how long.
If it's
completely anonymous.
It could have been a mistake, too.
Maybe. But, you know, guys really piss their wives off. It might be like a little way to like stick it to them a little bit. Like if they get an argument, she'd be like, well, I didn't vote for you.
Well, they're probably fighting a lot during the election. It's a very stressful time. No sleep.
Like, can you give me a break? Don't you see me going from Boise to Des Moines to, yeah. But I can't imagine that's ever happened.
Dorothy B. Johnson, maybe.
I think if it happened, it probably just happened.
Yeah, but say that's the most likely is the
her
one.
Her life was probably better and easier, Melania, without all this crap.
Think about this. Melania Trump got no credit. I mean, talk about no criticism. She'd probably never been criticized in her life.
Right.
Oh, she gets criticized all the time.
Now, yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Before this, she probably is like, God, what a great life.
She had a lot more free time. She could do things more conspicuously. Her life was better before.
You know, before she married Donald Trump, she could probably walk through them all.
Yeah.
I mean, before he ran for president. Even when he was on The Apprentice, he probably could just, you know, she could probably, he wouldn't recognize her, although she probably would be dressed in a manner that makes
you say,
but
there wouldn't be paparazzi. She wouldn't be forced to comment on issues and things. She could just go to a high-end restaurant.
Would it be okay for a first lady to say, look, I'm not the president. I'm just married to the president. I don't know. I don't know anything. Can't you say that?
Well, they usually don't ask. Usually there's a cause that they believe in.
Yeah,
like
then
Michelle Obama with, you know, people.
Bullying or whatever.
You know, well, hers is bullying, but Michelle Obama with exercise and eating
vegetables
and stuff.
I think they really want her to speak, right?
Some people
do. But you got to have something, right?
I mean, Michelle Obama was really good at it.
Hey,
yeah, well, she's a tough act to follow. Yeah.
Well, Melania, didn't she give some speech at the Republican convention and everybody said, wait a minute, she ripped that off for Michelle Obama?
Oh, that's true. That
was,
there was something in there.
Well, no,
that's pretty funny.
Well, yeah. I mean, nobody writes their own speech. I mean, everyone gets a speech written, right?
Well, you don't want to steal from your predecessor. Go back a little further.
Yeah, go back to Dorothy B. Johnson, as you say.
So I teared up 5 times in a row with the Elton John Christmas commercial. Have you guys seen this yet?
What?
Have you seen it yet?
No. Mm-mm.
You haven't? Robbie?
No, I don't know what you're talking
about. Describe it.
Oh, my God. Katie, you should go in the other room and watch it and tell me. It's some high-end London clothing store. It basically...
It's like ad on TV for a London clothing store?
Well, it aired over there. Now it's on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, I got you. Yeah. You didn't see it on TV. Gotcha.
No, no. So it's Elton John's on piano singing your song, and then it goes back in time to him singing that in different parts of his life, and then it goes back in time to some fictional kid learning how to play piano, and then back to eventually some little kid getting a piano for Christmas.
That's supposed to be Elton John?
Yes, and yeah. And then the tagline is, sometimes a gift is more than a gift, or something. But just the way this music is...
And you keep watching it over and over again?
Yes, it is amazing.
Do you think you've watched that video more... Or Katie's watched the Eric Woodworth song more.
Well, I think I've 5 times I've watched that. And it's like 2.5 minutes long. It's a long commercial.
No, Katie's definitely listened to that song more than 5 times.
But, I mean, I guess if you don't like that song, it's not going to move you. But I think
who doesn't like that song?
Exactly. That's my point. It's a great song.
Matter of fact, that's the song that my stepmother doesn't know, but that's going to be our mother-son dance or whatever.
Oh, perfect. Well, now she'll know. I'm sure
you're
going to
get
listener.
All... Yeah, I'm sure she's
I'll start
never,
crying.
I'm sure she's never listened to this show. And by the way, Gramps can't tell her because he's not even know what the hell we're talking about. He's never heard that song.
Does he know who Elton John is?
He does know who Elton John is.
He knows Candle in the Wind.
No,
he's already forgotten what song we mentioned.
He doesn't know Candle in the Wind. Gramps, do you know it?
Well, Princess Diana, that whole thing became a big... When he redid the song for that, that was a pretty big deal.
I don't know. I mean,
Apple will be aware of this one, but not Gramps.
All right.
50-50, I'd say. Hey, have you seen the trailer for the Elton John movie?
Yeah, I bet it's going to be better than Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, yeah, it's got to be. It can't be worse, I'll put it that way.
Gramps said
it looks great. It looks so good. You know who's playing Elton John? Do you know, Robbie? I told you already, right?
Idris Elba.
Not Idris Elba. Close.
I don't know who.
It's the kid from Kingsman, whatever that guy's name is.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I'm telling you, Katie's crying. Katie came back in crying.
Am I right?
Sit down, Katie.
I'm telling you. It's fantastic.
Oh, my God. The
God,
last
pull
thing
it together.
Joe, go the other room and
pull
watch it
together,
now.
Pull it together. Push. No, I'm not leaving.
No, we want Joe to go. Do the same thing.
Give it to me.
It says some gifts are more than
I know.
Than just
all right,
a gift.
Give it to me. You guys
but
can
But it's also a beautiful piece of filmmaking. I mean, it's really well done. Okay, Katie came back in. You could see the tears in her eyes.
Yes, oh, that was beautiful.
It's great, right? I said to Wanda, love that. I sent it to her mom. She's crying.
And I was kind of prepared not to cry because you told me I might cry, which usually preemptively gets me. No, that was really great.
It's Robbie, you should. Everyone just go watch it right now.
And the little kid's face. Oh, my God. They picked the perfect little boy for that. And the mom is like.
It's perfect.
Because, what if she didn't get him that piano?
Yes. It just.
Our worlds would be
the
different.
The feelings that you just. It comes over you.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
This is one
that
of the greatest
that gift led
musician,
to all this the beauty
this
that's in our life.
This discussion we're having right now.
Yes.
Can we hire that ad agency to do a commercial for the Robin Joe Show?
Well, whoever they are, they're in super high demand, I'm guessing. So.
Oh, it was so great.
Yeah, now I want to go to London and go and buy clothes at this store because it's some high-end clothing
nephew,
store.
I need to buy my nephew some ridiculous toy or, now
or buy him
or
a piano,
something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's at that age. Do you think Joe's going to have the same feeling or is he going to? Because Joe gets welled up. He's an emotional guy. He's always crying
now,
at movies and
now
stuff.
Now that we were talking about it, maybe not. He did, but if it was just like he was sitting in bed watching a video, he would have teared up.
He will recognize that it's really good.
Of course.
He might not get any tears in his eyes.
Yes.
Robbie definitely won't.
Robbie won't, and he'll complain about how long it is.
No. I got emotional watching Pitbulls and Parolees this week.
Okay. But in the end, the kid says he hates the Eagles. So did you really?
I mean...
I often get emotional watching that show.
Well, you're a dog person.
When the people expressed their love for their animals, and these people had a pair of dogs, and one of the dogs died, and the other dog was insecure and clearly missed the dog, aww, so they came and got a new small Maltese for the dog. And
yeah, see?
It got him.
It got him.
Picture at the end with the dog with the arm around a little Maltese. And made it.
That's a good one.
This is the saddest episode of the Robin Joshua ever.
Yeah, it got me. It got me a little bit.
No, it's a beautifully done ad. It's powerful.
It got me like Eric Woodworth singing Hallelujah got to Katie.
That shit's so good. I'm not kidding. You need to go listen to it.
Robbie played it on the show.
Oh, my yes. God.
Can I tell you what Graham said in chat? He put quite screechy.
That's going to be a new chat name.
Eric, it was beautiful.
Yeah, quite screechy would be a good name for the show.
Or for Eric's album when he comes out with a music album.
quite screechy. Hey, that'd be a good name for the Weird Al tribute band. By the way, we've talked about this before, but the name is either Amish Paraguys or White and Nerdy.
I feel like they're trending to White and Nerdy.
But White and Nerdy is a way better name.
100%.
Amish Paraguys, which they said is people like better, it implies, we've already talked about this,
yes,
that you're going to see something different. So I really want them to go with White and Nerdy.
Yeah, I agree.
I really want them to go with White.
I've heard them mention, call it White and Nerdy. I think Eric is on board. I think Tommy may be still holding out.
Tommy doesn't like to be told what to do. That's why he might go with the other one.
There's a ton of opportunity to make it, like, that's a marketable name.
Absolutely.
White and Nerdy. Like, you
absolutely
can make it, like, the logo could be cool. I mean, there's a lot more you can do with that than Amish Paraguys.
Who aren't dressed Amish. Right. And by the way, are they even going to sing the song Amish Paradise? So basically, you're referring to a Weird Al song that you aren't dressed like and that you may not even sing.
Mm-hmm. But that's too specific.
But that'll be when they become huge. Like, you know, Pearl Jam was originally
Mookie Blaylock,
because they were in Seattle, and he's a Seattle Supersonic. So that'll be like the cool thing. Like, if you're like a super white nerdy fan, remember their first name? Did you know this? Amish Paraguys.
I remember their work as Amish Paraguys. Yeah. I saw them at the cellar door perform Yoda.
Well, so you're going to have Thanksgiving with the Katies this time, right?
Two Thanksgivings.
Yes,
actually three total, but two that day.
What?
Two in a day.
How? Who?
We got to go to her Aunt Kim, Crazy Aunt Kim.
Okay. Aunt Kim. Where does she live?
She lives in Pasadena.
Okay.
Hey, Aunt Kim, I don't know if I told the story when we went to that Halloween party where my fly was down and where the kids showed up and said I was old and then said the N-word about me. But,
yeah, good times.
She dressed up like the girl from The Ring, Crazy Aunt Kim, was going up trying to scare people.
Yeah, she hid in the bathroom behind the shower door so that when people came in to pee, she would jump out. I'm like, this is a problem.
I like it, but she makes a mean turkey.
Hey, she's hilarious, by the way, Aunt Kim.
I like her.
But you know who she scared the most? It wasn't close.
You.
Her own daughter. She didn't know who the hell this lady was.
I think
was.
You did tell this.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. So, all right, sorry, guys.
So why isn't Crazy Aunt Kim at Frank's house?
She's invited, but
they have such a big family on their side, too, so we do our side.
Hello?
And hey, Dad.
Are you going to be able to watch the Redskins game, or are you going to get screwed on being able to focus on that?
No, I think I'll be able to. I won't be able to focus.
He's not required to do anything except for show up, and everyone's going to be watching football.
They'll watch football, yeah.
Okay. Are you? I know Katie's probably making something, but are you doing anything?
No.
Okay.
No,
you are. You are. The boys go together.
Oh, yeah.
I have to deep fry a turkey.
How are you going to do that?
I'm not. I don't know. I'm scared.
You're going to stand there and just, when somebody says, grab like this or give me something.
It's like a push rite of passage.
Well, man, what if I don't pass?
I mean, it's a dangerous thing. I don't know if
it is super dangerous.
But it's super dangerous.
More houses are burnt down on Thanksgiving Day than any other day of the year.
It's because of this.
But you guys have a setup, right? It's outside.
There's a setup outside. It's in Edgewater. Like, there's a location where all these guys from all these different families show up to fry turkeys.
Wait, you're doing this. My mom lives in Edgewater.
We're doing it at your mom's house.
Okay, awesome.
Do you know if there's even like one little tiny little piece of ice in a turkey and just blow up the whole house?
Well, I'm glad Joe's on this.
Yeah, I shouldn't be. I mean, I'll let this thing thaw out till it has some salmonella.
He's going to have like third degree burns on his face at our wedding. Like,
yeah, she'll still marry you. That's good.
Yeah, well, if I get third degree burns,
you have to wear a Deadpool suit.
Yeah, because if the reverse happened, I know who'd be having second thoughts.
Oh, you're burnt.
Maybe I'm too old for you.
You can wear that orange suit that Frank has.
Yes, you can wear that.
I would just say that lady really got to me. She like called me a bunch of times to get us to break up, and I just had to listen to her.
Yeah, didn't have anything to do with the burns.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the show. Hey, have a fantastic Thanksgiving, everybody. We will be with you next week. Until then, later.
Later.
You want to say what you're thankful for?
I'm good.
Yeah, Robbie's recording all this, yeah. So.